Tonight's Bible passage is from Colossians 3, chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. If you could turn a few verses earlier to Colossians 2, verse 20, and we'll start and read through to 3, verse 5. So Colossians 2, verse 20, we're on page 1183 in the Church Bibles. If you'd like a Bible and don't have one, do put your hands up. I'm sure someone would love to get you one. So Colossians 2, verse 20. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use because they are based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom, with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, that they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Since then, you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. This is God's word to us today. Well, it is inevitable, isn't it, that we stand at the end of 2012 on the brink of another new year and we look forward, don't we? Maybe 2012 has been a good year for you. Maybe you remember it fondly. Or maybe you just can't wait to get rid of it and move on to another. But either way, we just can't avoid thinking of a new year as a new start, can we? It's inevitable. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be hit from all sides in the media with New Year's resolutions, New Year diets, the promise of a new you in the new year. And there is something powerful in that. It's that thought, isn't there, that there might be that certain something out there, that missing piece that you can find that will slot in and make your life complete, make it so much better. I wonder what you think it might be. What do you think is out there for you to make your world complete this year? Maybe if you start a new diet, join a new gym to help your self-image. Maybe if you start a blog to order all your thoughts and tell the world what you've got to say. Maybe it is your physical world, maybe it's your home, that this is the year that you can really sort out the space that you live in and make it work for you. Whatever it is, there's bound to be something that we think will get our lives sorted in the year to come. And that's the thing we're going to spend our time looking for and thinking about. It'll shape our priorities in the new year ahead. I guess in many ways, that's a really good thing, isn't it? Having a new start, it's a chance to take stock. It's a chance to look at our priorities, maybe change a few things, a chance to think about doing things we've not done before. But I guess by this stage, we've been around the block, haven't we? We know that this time next year, we'll be searching again for that something, that there'll be another something out there that we think will sort everything out. Next year, it'll be something else that's on the top of the list of priorities to go and find. So what's the answer? Is that just a natural part of life, that we'll always be searching for that missing piece? Or is there a way that we can know real change? Can we really find that missing thing? Or are we doomed to be searching forever? Well, let's go to the Apostle Paul. I often think that when we're thinking of questions like that, that Paul is the man to go to. After all, he's the one who says, doesn't he, in Philippians 4, I have learnt the secret of being content in every situation. So who better to take our new year and our New Year's resolutions to? As we turn to Colossians chapter 3, we find Paul teaching the Colossian church about how to change. You see, this is a church that in many ways would have identified with our modern New Year's resolutions. You see, they had become Christians through hearing the gospel, just as so many down the centuries have. But they were constantly asking, is there something more out there? You see, in their search for the missing piece, the Colossian Christians were tempted to look to, well, quite a lot of things. Spiritual forces. They were tempted to look to religious ceremonies. They were tempted to look to strict rules, as we heard in our reading. All the time thinking that some of these things might slot in, make their life, their world complete. So let's follow Paul here as he teaches the Colossian Christians. And Paul wants them to know that the secret to a full life, the secret to lasting change, is not something out there that you can go and find. No. Change comes by realizing what you already have. It's not out there. It's already happened. And so he points them here to two things that have already happened to them. Have a look with me at chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above. You see, the first thing that he wants them to know is this, that they have already been raised to a new world. You see, in a part of the letter here that is written to help the Colossians change and grow, Paul doesn't start by telling them the next thing to do. No, he points them back to something that has already happened in their lives. He says, verse 1, since then, you have been raised. You see, something has happened to the Colossians. Something has happened to all Christians when they come to the Lord Jesus for that first time and trust in him that changes everything. This is a huge, decisive shift that affects the whole of life, that shapes their whole world. They have been raised with Christ. The key to understanding what that means is this little phrase that Paul loves to use in Colossians, which is with Christ. You see, all believers in King Jesus have become united to him. It's like they become spiritually superglued to him, so that wherever Jesus is and whatever he does, they do too. You sometimes hear this idea called faith union. It's the idea that we've become united to Jesus when we had faith in him for the first time. So if Jesus were to become over here, then, well, all believers spiritually would be over here as well. If Jesus and when Jesus died, in some spiritual, real sense, believers died as well. And since Jesus is raised from the dead, all believers who trust in him, when they trust in him, become spiritually raised from the dead too. And if Christians are raised with Jesus, that means that they are no longer dead. They have a new life. They've been raised to a whole new world. I don't know if you sit down at the start of Christmas week with the bumper Radio Times and circle everything that you want to watch or record. I'm getting a few smiles, which means that, you know, we all do it, don't we? And one of the films that caught my eye was the new version of Alice in Wonderland, which is a fantastic film and utterly bonkers. But it's such a unique story, isn't it? It's a fascinating story. And it always grabs me that when Alice falls down that rabbit hole for the first time, she goes into such a different and bizarre new world. You see, up above is the world, that the old world of civilized society, and a world where Alice is expected to behave by these old-fashioned rules, which she finds boring and doesn't understand. When she sees the white rabbit and follows him and then falls down this magic rabbit hole, she's transported into a whole new world It's a fantasy world. There's talking animals. It's a world that doesn't work on the same rules. It's a world with different people in charge. A world with completely different priorities and different values, where a jam tart can see you get capital punishment. And Paul is saying a change on that order has happened in the lives of all Christians when they come to believe in Jesus. Not going down this time, but raised to an entirely new world. We've seen more of this elsewhere in Colossians that helps us to understand it. So flick back with me a page to Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. It says this, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You see, a Christian is someone who has been raised spiritually with Jesus to join in that kingdom, the kingdom of the Son. A Christian is now a member of that heavenly kingdom. A Christian is someone who's qualified, who has the right to be there because their sins have been paid for. They now belong in the heavenly kingdom. And that is a kingdom with different rules and different priorities. It's a kingdom with very different people in charge. As we look back, turn back with me to chapter 3 again. And as we look back to our passage in chapter 3, verse 1, Paul tells us the most important thing about this kingdom, about this new world. But look at verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. You see, if we could peel back the curtains and see the heavenly world that we are now raised to, that we are now part of, we would see a very different world to this world. You see, the first thing that we would notice, which would grab our attention, is that at the center of this kingdom is one person. There's no parliament, no committee, one king, the Lord Jesus, given the place of highest authority and power, seated at the right hand of God. I wonder if you can imagine that if you were to go to sleep tonight and wake up in that kingdom, that you could walk around there and live your life there. There'd be only one master to answer to. There'd be the Lord Jesus looking after all of us and teaching us. A kingdom where everyone shared the same priorities, the priority of serving others and helping them rather than pulling each other down. A priority of seeing other people come to know the Lord Jesus. This is a kingdom whose values are listed down in verse 12 of chapter 3. Have a look down there with me. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Wouldn't a kingdom where everyone was like that just be the best place to live? Well, it will be, because that is the picture of the new world, the world that one day the Lord Jesus will come and make happen here on earth. But Paul is saying that we are now, in a real way, if we are trusting in the Lord Jesus, already spiritually a part of that. We don't see it now, we don't see it yet, because it's hidden away in heaven. But just because we don't see it, it doesn't mean that it's not real. You see, because we have been raised with Christ, a Christian can now say, I am now a citizen of that new heavenly world. I answer to only one master, the Lord Jesus. We've been raised to a whole new world, you see, with new priorities and a new ruler. And that's what the Colossians, who were always looking for that next thing to slot in to make their lives complete, that's what they needed to hear. Because that is a something that's happened already, and it changes how we see life. You see, that thought has a lot of power, doesn't it, to cast our lives in a different light. It has the power to change us. It has the power to shape our priorities. You see, maybe this year you're thinking that something out there is something you need to get. Maybe you need to gain or buy a new thing, a new car or a new wardrobe, a new computer, a new diet. Or if you had these things, your world would be right. Well, a Christian who is tempted to think that the answer is out there can say, I am now a citizen of a new heavenly world. I have everything I need. I can give my money away instead to support the spread of that heavenly kingdom here and around the world. And that's the first thing that Paul wants these Colossians, the people who are so hungry for that extra thing, to know. They've already been raised to a whole new world. Well, if that's the first thing, then the second is that he wants them to see the flip side of that coin. The second thing that Paul wants them to know is that they have left the old world behind. Have a look with me at verses 2 to 4 of chapter 3. Verse 2. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. See, if we've been moved to the new world so that we are now citizens of that heavenly kingdom, then we must have left something else behind. See, if one side of the coin is that we are raised with Christ to a new life, then the other side of the coin is that we have died. We've died to the old way of life. Flick back over the page to the start of the reading that we had in 2 verse 20. Just a few lines before, Paul tells the Colossians what they have died to, what they've left behind. Chapter 2, verse 20. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? You see, they have died to what Paul calls the basic principles of the world. They've left behind the ways of the world. They've left behind, if you like, the rules that the world plays by. You see, it seems as though these Colossian Christians were tempted to think that they still lived in their old world. They still saw themselves as living under the basic principles of the world. They thought perhaps that they were under the authority of different forces in the world and that they had to live by their rules. They thought that if they wanted to be safe and secure, that they had to go to church on a special day or fast or not eat certain foods. They thought that if they kept those rules, then they'd be secure, they'd be complete, that they would have that missing piece that would fill their lives. I don't know what you think when you hear that. Maybe it sounds like the sort of thing that we thought, well, you know, not likely to fall for that one. But if we're honest, we're perhaps not much better at leaving behind the world's rules. It's just that we update them for the 21st century. See, maybe we think we need to dress the right way and then the world will accept us. We'll have security. We've kept its rules. Or maybe it's that we think we should talk the right way, that we should agree or certainly not disagree that anyone has a claim to absolute truth. We keep the world's rules. Maybe we think that we have to keep up with everyone else in the world with what we own, car, house, phone. We keep the world's rules. Maybe we feel like we have to work as long as the next guy and stay as late at the office. We keep the world's rules. See, for each of us, there will be things in our lives that we fear that the world won't accept us for. And we try really hard, don't we, to put that right. We long for security. We do keep the world's rules. I think New Year's resolutions, in fact, can be a really obvious example of that. If we look at our resolutions closely, ask ourselves, who are we really doing this for? See, we so often come up with new resolutions because we think that others think that we should do that. But Paul says here, you died. You died to the old world. You are no longer under its authority. You've left it behind. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of the world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? I was a teacher in a secondary school for 5 years before I started training for full-time ministry. And every term, there was one thing that teachers had to do as part of the job, no choice, that made the blood run cold. Any teacher here is thinking the same thing, reports. For 2 weeks, every term, the school and the whole staff would just go report crazy. It just seemed to take over life. We had to write reports for every pupil. We had to read reports for every pupil, check reports for every pupil, collate reports for every pupil, send them on to the deputy headmaster. A year after I left the school, I went back to visit to see some of the friends that I taught with. As I was walking around, I bumped into the deputy head, who said hello, you know, pleasant. And he quickly followed it up with a witty, "Have you done your reports for me?" Which I laughed, kind of politely, not really sure what to do. But I walked away thinking, well, of course not. And I'm genuinely glad that I've left that part of the job behind. I've left it behind. The deputy head, his authority, he has no claim on me. I've died to reports. What a strange thing if I'd been sat there filling them out as he stood over me. No, I died to reports. Which for a teacher, that's a pretty big deal. You see, the amazing thing is that Colossians 3 is telling us that we have died to all the world's rules. All of them. We've left that world behind. Now, Jesus, our only king, he wants us to submit to the laws of the land, but the world itself no longer has a claim on us. We no longer have to look or talk, even think a certain way for the world to accept us. We have acceptance with the Lord. We no longer have to agree with others. If we want security, we have security in the heavenly kingdom. We have died to all the world's rules. They no longer have a claim on us. And that, again, has a lot of power for us as we are looking for change. That has a lot of power, doesn't it, to change our priorities. You see, it means that we no longer have to run around worrying what we need to do to make our world complete, to make things work. Everything has been done for us. We've left behind that old world. We don't have to live in it any longer. We've left behind the worldly ways of thinking. In fact, the break is so strong that Paul says we have died to that. We no longer even need to play the game. So much of our desire to change, our looking for a better life, our trying to order our world in a way that we think will get it sorted, so much of it is playing the game that the world plays. We can see that, can't we, by the desires that it brings out in us, like the list of earthly behaviors that Paul listed in 3 verse 5. Have a look down at chapter 3 verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Maybe we're tempted to follow the world's rules in some of these areas, and we're led into these things. Paul says, put them to death. You have left that world behind. Just practically thinking ahead to the mission, the Crossroads mission event, maybe the place where this starts to feel real for you is when you're tempted to follow the world's rules in the area of respectability. We want our friends and our neighbours to think well of us. And that makes us follow its rules, doesn't it? It makes us perhaps hold back from pushing the Christian thing too much, from inviting people to church or to an outreach event, because we don't want to think that they think any less of us. Paul says, you don't even have to play that game anymore. You've died to that. You're free to follow Jesus' priorities, no matter what the cost is. because our security is now in him and not in the world. You see, to these Colossians who were so eager to find that missing piece, Paul just keeps pointing them back to what they have already been given. See, he points them back to how much they've been given in the gospel. He wants them to realize what they've got. He wants them to realize that because they've come to Jesus, that they have everything already. They have complete forgiveness and more besides. They've been raised to a whole new world and left their old world behind, that they now belong in a perfect heavenly kingdom. That's what Paul wants people who are searching for something extra to know. Also, how does that shape our daily lives? How is that going to affect our new year? Well, I don't know about you, but there are lots of times when I don't actually feel like I've been raised to a whole new world. What Paul is saying here doesn't seem to fit with my experience and how I feel about it. Sometimes the pressures and realities of life make it feel very much like I'm part of the old world still. And that's the problem, isn't it? And Paul was aware of that. Have a look again at verse 3 of Colossians chapter 3. 3, verse 3. Paul says, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." You see, it is absolutely true that we have been raised to a whole new life with a new king, answering only to the Lord Jesus. It is absolutely true that we have left behind the world's rules. But for now, that is hidden. It is hidden in heaven. The amazing news of these verses is that it's not going to stay hidden. You see, there will be a day when Jesus is seen again by everyone on the planet and in all his glory when he comes to wrap up this world and bring in the new heavens and the new earth. And if he's going to be seen on that day in his glory, well, what about us? Well, remember, wherever he is, we are as well. You see, on that day, living in the hidden heavenly world, that's not going to feel so tough on that day. It's not going to seem like the daft choice on that day. We'll be glad to be living in that heavenly kingdom on that day. You see, on that day, that's the day when we will feel and experience the reality of the complete life that we now have in Jesus, but not before then. So Paul leaves us, if you like, with a challenge. Are we going to live in the new hidden reality that we are part of now? Or are we going to go back to the old, which we've died to? Paul's question at the start of 2013 for you is, which world are you going to live in for the year ahead? There are two commands in the passage which we haven't looked at yet, which we've read a few times as we went along. They amount to essentially the same thing. And let's have a look at them in verses 1 and 2. "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." Paul says, which world are you going to live in? Set your hearts on things above. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. See, Paul knows that our priorities for our life will be shaped by which of those two worlds we are living in. In the hidden new world or in the old. And the challenge for us is to remember who we are. It's to remember who we've become. Remember which kingdom we belong in. And to let that reality shape our lives. To let it shape our priorities. You see, setting our hearts on things above is going to shape how I spend my life here. It's going to shape how I spend not just my money, but my time. It might mean spending less time at work so that I can spend more time leading my family spiritually. It might mean spending less time on myself so that I might spend more time with friends who need help. Set your hearts on things above, and set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. As we finish, I am going to suggest two what I think are healthy New Year's resolutions that flow out of this passage, that come out of what we've thought about here. And they are the two mutually exclusive. They're for two different groups of people, and two New Year's resolutions on offer. The first is for anyone here who doesn't know Jesus as their king, who wouldn't call themselves a Christian. This part of God's word is saying to you that the only way to experience a perfect world, the only way to have that complete life that we also often long for, is to come to Jesus. Why not make a resolution this year to find out more about that, to find out if it's true? One way to do that is to sign up for our Christianity Explored course. There are flyers like this on the information stand out there, and it starts in 2 weeks' time on a Tuesday night on the 15th of January. If you'd like to know more, do ask me after the service or grab a card outside. But secondly, for those of us who have come to Jesus as our Saviour and do know him as our King, here's a resolution for you. Why not make this resolution this year? Not to go out and do something extra, not to go and find something more, but make this the year when you really dwell on and realise just how much you have already been given in the gospel. Because the more we realise who we are now, the more we realise that we belong in that heavenly kingdom, the more we'll want to live by its rules and its priorities. You see, a Christian is someone who can say, standing on the brink of a new year, I am now a citizen of a heavenly world. I have everything I need. And a Christian is someone who can say, I have one King, the Lord Jesus. I'm going to live with his priorities. Let's pray. Father God, how we praise you for everything that we have been given in the Lord Jesus. Thank you that he is risen from the dead. Thank you that he is ascended and reigning. And we are waiting for him to be revealed in all his glory. And thank you that in some real sense we are seated there with him in the heavenly places. Father, we don't quite grasp the magnitude of that, but that is an awesome truth. And we praise you for it. Please help us to live this year as people who have been raised, as people who belong in King Jesus' great kingdom. And please help us to order our lives and our priorities in the light of that. In Jesus' name, amen.